say amen to that? Steal my joy. Boys and girls, come on down if you will. Parents, if you'll stand and get your boys and girls, stand with me, church. We're going to go ahead and continue our time of worship this morning. So glad you're here in the house of the Lord as we celebrate His wonderful, wonderful goodness and kindness. Thank you, boys and girls, for singing with us. What a joy that was. God the glory this morning. All the praise and all the glory and honor due to his holy and precious and powerful name. Amen. Good to hear you sing this morning. Sounding good. You know why? Because it's authentic. Authentic praise always sounds good. Amen.
Come and let us sing for joy. Let us praise and shout aloud to the lifter of our heads, to the rock we're standing on. For salvation is our song.
Here to see the words, but the word says something about, and we can't keep quiet, or we can't stay silent in our love and our expression to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Man, what a pleasure. Let's pray together. Lord, you have been so good to us. And we come together as a body of believers, expressing our love and our gratitude to you. May we always, always sing joyfully, speak joyfully to you in adoration and praise. May we never, ever be silent. Speak to our hearts, Lord, if we continue this time of worship and celebration. Always remember how good a God you are. May we always remember, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We will remember. We will remember.
faithful and mighty. You may be seated. We want to remember now as we reflect back over the last 52 years. Happy anniversary to you, by the way. Let's look at the blessings and listen to the blessings.
What are we thankful for, Summer?
I'm thankful for my faith family.
Yes.
And all of the wonderful people I get to work with and all the children I get to inspire in God's Word.
In the same thing, I'm so grateful to the Lord for bringing me here.
Yes.
To Faith Baptist and the love we have for each other.
Yes.
I like church because I like to learn about Jesus.
Me and my wife have been at Faith Baptist since 2001, and this church has helped both of us grow in leaps and bounds. It's been an opportunity to see so many people in a church that truly show Jesus Christ in all they say and do, and not just preach or say what the scripture is, but they live it every day. And it has just blessed our family and blessed me so much and helped me grow and helped me to grow in my understanding of forgiveness and love.
I'm thankful for my church because I like hanging out with everyone and making new friends.
I'm just thankful that the Lord brought us here, that as we grew with the church, we just extended our family. And that's what this church is to us, is a extended family.
I'm thankful for the church because we're able to have lots of fun and do fun stuff.
I am thankful for the Faith Baptist Church because it's friendly and biblically based. The pastor's wonderful, and it's a joy to be here on Sundays.
Hello, my name is Connie Lane, and I am a new member to Faith Baptist, and just wanted to say how welcomed that I have felt ever since I first visited. Felt like just an overwhelming feeling that God said, this is where you belong. And I just have to say that I have felt overwhelmed with love and affection for everybody in the church. And it is such a blessing to be here where I see God working in everybody's life.
I'm thankful for my church because I get to learn about God.
I'm thankful for the church because that way I can learn about God and Jesus.
We moved to Princeton in 2012, and my husband and I bought a little house here and moved here, and we started to Faith Baptist Church. And my husband passed away in 2015, and if it hadn't been for the people here at Faith, and Brother Stan and Becky helping me, and Joanne nagging me to come back to church and go places with her and play games, I probably wouldn't have ever gotten over the grief. So I am very appreciative of Faith Baptist Church. Thank you.
I'm thankful for Faith Baptist Church because they've included me in the family.
I'm thankful for my church because it helps me strengthen my faith.
And our church has really ministered to me because I've had a lot of problems in between here and there, and the Lord saw me through it. And I know for a fact that I wouldn't be sitting here if he hadn't provided the way. And I hope we can grow more every day because we need more people to come to faith, to come to the faith and come to Faith Baptist Church to be with us. And we appreciate everybody now that is working in our church with our youth, with our Sunday school classes.
I like to learn about God and Jesus, and I love them.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide.
Because you can be involved with everything.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in his likeness, raised to walk all the days of your life.
Amen. Yes, go ahead and applaud. Give God the glory for the lives that he continues to change. And where's Oliver? Oliver, raise your hand. I'm with you, buddy. I like coming to church to have fun. I enjoy coming to church. I really do. And who is the one? Where's Wanda? Is Wanda in here? Is she the one that said Stan and Becky nagged her? Joanne said that. Oh, nagged her. Okay, I thought she said that you nagged, and I was like, Joanne nagged her. Joanne, you keep on nagging. You keep on nagging. We're going to nag you right now and encourage you to come and stay after church. We have a wonderful barbecue luncheon prepared, and we're going to celebrate together and fellowship together. So we're going to nag you if you don't already have plans. And if you do have plans, you have cell phones, call and cancel them. Would you do that and stay for lunch? If you're our guest today, thank you for coming and worshiping with us. Always glad to see you, and it's our pleasure to have you worship with us today. If you have not filled out the Connect card in the bulletin, please do so and take it back there to the Welcome Center. We have a special gift for you. I want to say thank you to everyone who works behind the scenes. There's so many things going on in ministry here, and you and I don't get a chance to see all of it. And just to know that our Lord is working in and through each of you in so many different ways. Thank you for being the church outside of these walls, and it's a blessing to call you family. We do have an Exploring Faith luncheon coming up this coming Sunday on the 19th. For all of our guests, if you're interested in becoming a member, if you're interested in learning more about the ministries here at Faith, we encourage you to stay and join us next Sunday as well. If you've not signed up, please do so. That'll give us a head count. Also today, we just want to say thank you to all of our veterans. If you don't mind, veterans, would you stand to your feet and let us recognize you all across the worship center. And then there's these three on this side and Don over here. God bless you for your service. God bless you for your faithfulness. What a privilege it is to live here in this wonderful, wonderful country. If you turn on the news, you'll see how unwonderful it is. But if you look to our Father and you see the freedoms we have, you'll see how great a country we have. And he's placed us in, and just so privileged to live here. We have men and women all around the world right now that's fighting for freedom. And breaks my heart to see sin at its best. And in this country, the demonstrations this side against this side. All it is people not looking up. We're looking out. Let's pray for those in harm's way. Let's thank the Lord for our men and women who's continuing to fight for our freedom, to stand for justice. A lot going on. A lot going on. And church, once again, what a blessing you have been each year. And did I put the nag on you a couple weeks ago when I talked about the goal, maybe just having a goal of one so we could make sure we reached our goal? Do you know how many shoe boxes you guys have put together? You know how many children are going to be blessed because of your faithfulness? As of right now, and today's the last day to collect. If you need to bring them up here tomorrow, we'll be here tomorrow as well. We'll probably take those in Tuesday and deliver them. 113 boys and girls will be blessed with toiletries, with socks, with fun gifts as well for Christmas. And they're going to be blessed to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. When they receive these boxes, I've said it before and I'll continue to say it again. When they receive these boxes, they also have an opportunity to hear the good news that Jesus loves you so much that he came to die for you and to redeem you and set you free. That's what the freedom that we have, and that's the freedom we want everyone across this world to hear and to experience. And so, church, thank you for this. Will you bow with me and pray just real quickly here? Thank you, Lord, for a church that's been faithful. Lord, I thank you for these boys and girls ahead of time that's going to receive this wonderful blessing of new socks, new underwear, new toys. But, Father, for the new gift of life that they're going to be able to hear, and the thousands upon thousands that will put their faith and their trust in you. Lord, may they hear, may they understand, and may they receive the goodness of the Lord in their lives. Bless each one that participated in putting these boxes together and being a blessing to others. And Lord, we just pray that you would protect, once again, all the men and women who's serving overseas to keep us free. Lord, may others turn to Jesus and know the truth. Through all of this tragedy, through all that's going on, I pray that people would come to know you as a personal Lord and Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, let's stand together as we continue to worship.
Love for me.
thankful. You may be seated.
Amen. One of the things I love about Anniversary Sunday is getting to have the Lord's Supper together. A lot of times we'll do it on the first Sunday of the month, but during anniversary time, I always want us to make sure we do it on Anniversary Sunday, because that's really what the church is all about. My favorite line was Miracle saying, "I like church," or "I'm thankful for my church because I like church." And that's the way I feel. I like church. But it's not the building that I like. I like that we've been able to remodel the children's wing and make some things look nicer. But it's not about the building. It's about the people that God has put in my life as a family and as a people that are helping me to grow, to know the Lord more, and to claim His promises more, and to walk in His freedom, and to celebrate Him. Next week, we start in our Sunday school classes, our Bible study classes on Colossians. We've been in Philippians. And I think at the beginning of Philippians, I said, this is my favorite book because it's all about joy and about the joy we have in the Lord. Well, I lied last month, I guess, because Colossians is now my new favorite book. I just love Colossians. And we're going to be hitting Colossians 1 next week. And I'm going to say some more things about the first part of Colossians 1 in my message time. But we're also going to spend Christmas time in Colossians 1 because it's such a beautiful thing about Jesus. Jesus is more than a baby. Even at Christmas time, Jesus is always, even when He came as a baby, He came as the incarnation of Almighty God. And in Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, "For He," God the Father, "rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He bought us back for Himself through the precious blood of Jesus Christ." We have redemption. We've been bought. And the cool thing about it is, a lot of times we think about, and we teach the children all the time, you know, Jesus died on the cross for your sins so you could be forgiven of your sins. But we forget also that He transferred us from one dominion of darkness into His kingdom of light. And it uses the word dominion of darkness. He transfers, because everyone who does not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Bible says they're still in a dominion of darkness. Satan has a derived power. A dominion is something someone has given someone else to exercise control over an area. They may have taken it by force, as in wars. But in this case, the dominion Satan has is an actual dominion over the kingdoms of this world. But it's a derived power that God has allowed for a time, until the time He sets all things right. But a kingdom is not something you can take for yourself without overthrowing the king. And guess what? We have a king who's undefeated. We have a king who will never be defeated. We have a king who reigns supremely on the throne of the universe. And He has transferred us over from the dominion of a liar, a thief, and a murderer, and put us in the kingdom of His Son. So today, if you belong to that kingdom, you know for sure Jesus is Lord of your life, and you're walking in obedience to Him, not cherishing the sins in your life and not holding on to those, but confessing them, repenting of them, and walking as much as you can in the Spirit of the Lord, today we invite you to the table where we remember, and we will remember, that Jesus died so that we could have life. Man, I'm thankful He died so I wouldn't have to face eternal death and separation. I'm also thankful that He died so I can have life today and tomorrow and the next day and for all eternity. That's what we're celebrating today as a body, recognizing that we're part of His kingdom, we're celebrating that Jesus loved us that much, and that God loved us so much he provided his one and only son, his only begotten, that whoever believes in him would not have to perish, but would have eternal life. We're going to ask you at this time, if you're ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, and you know that you're walking with Christ, you know that you've been obedient to baptism and being obedient in your daily walk with the Lord, we invite you to come to one of these stations where the elements are set up, back at the back, up here at the front, and just receive. There's two cups, one with the juice, one with the bread, that we'll partake of together once you have yours and get back to your seats. This is a great time, if you're not ready to partake of the Lord's table, to confess your sins, repent, and turn your eyes completely to Jesus. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, or if you're still wondering about that, we encourage you not to take of the Lord's Supper today, because the Bible says don't. If your heart's not right, if you're not right with the Lord, if your life's not right before the Lord, don't take of the Lord's table today. The Bible warns us not to, because it's that important. We invite you to move towards the tables when you're ready. Said that Jesus gave these instructions to the church. He said that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us all the way to the cross and for blessing us all the way out of the empty tomb into eternity. For it's in Jesus' name we live. Amen. We're going to sing one more song together today as a celebration. We just wanted to sing a lot of time of worship. And so if you would stand with us once more as we thank the Lord. Thank you.
was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Applied. Glory.
All God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Boy, isn't that an awesome song, speaking an awesome truth. We thank him for the blood applied. We've been in this Finishing Well series, and we've got a couple more weeks in it. And today I wanted to just kind of look at that passage in Colossians, because it's one of the ones, a lot of times Paul does this, is he'll say a prayer for the church as he's beginning his sermon or his writing, his letter to the churches. And we have that in Colossians 1, 1 through 14. The mission of faith, we talked about last week, and we said that the mission of faith is that Faith Baptist seeks to be a loving, praying church. And Kathy, I'm going to need you to go ahead and do those for me. But Faith Baptist seeks to be a loving, praying church that leads the lost to Christ Jesus, build up his body of believers, and gives glory to God in all that we say and do. Let's say that together again. Faith Baptist seeks to be a loving, praying church that leads the lost to Christ Jesus, builds up his body of believers, and gives glory to God in all we say and do. And we believe that that's what God tells us the church ought to be about. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things about our church before we go into this passage from Colossians 1. Something happened this past week, and one of our charter members who lives in another community now, and she's with us today, Bonnie, she said she didn't mind if I used her name. The Combis family were some of the charter members of our church. And in fact, do we still have... Who else were charter members? Sandra Patterson, weren't you here right towards the beginning? I think at the beginning. And Joanne came pretty quickly after the beginning. And so we still have some. I think about some of those people who were on the pulpit committee to call me here 31 years ago. And some people, godly people that God used in my life to help me grow in our church's life, and some names I'm going to throw out there that unless you're old, you won't know, but names like Grady Boyd, who was my first Sunday school teacher when I came here. He had been a high school principal and just loved the Lord and loved teaching his word, you know. People like Ed Combist and Joe Bob Decker and some of those who helped build some of the facilities we just remodeled. They actually swung the hammers in those buildings. So many others, Minnie Faye, Pam, your parents, both of them, and taught. Minnie Faye, when she could not see, she would have Tommy Hall read the Sunday school lesson on a disc, or at that time, I think it was a cassette tape. By the way, young people, cassette tapes were cool, you know, just... Since you have no clue what that is, you know, but she would listen to the Sunday school lesson because she couldn't read it for herself and then teach it on Sunday morning. So many I'm going to leave out. Rick Wheeler just was such a brother and one of our faithful deacons and Sunday school teacher and led music here for a while. There's so many. But Bonnie's family, the Combis family, were blessed by something these past couple of weeks. Financially, they received a blessing. And she said, we want to pass on a legacy gift to the church. And so gave a gift, and we said, we'd like for this much to go towards missions. And then this much, however the church wants to use that. And I started thinking about that, how God has frequently in this church's life and in my life as a pastor, I've gotten to see how he used people to give gifts when they were blessed. When I first came here as pastor, there was $125,000 in the bank already that they, during another time of growth, they had put money aside to build a children's wing. It had never been built. And I can still remember one Sunday night, we were just talking and praying about what God was doing in our congregation, and Don Cantrell stood up and said, it's time for us to build our building. Just like that, you know? And again, many of you have heard this story, but it was like we all were sitting there and said, where'd that come from? Nobody's been talking about building a building, you know? And suddenly we felt like this was the Spirit of the Lord moving, and we started moving towards it. Now, I can tell you the rest of the story later. There's some funny parts to it, but if you want to hear it at lunch, just grab hold of me, I'll tell you. But anyway, we were able to build that children's wing and have it open in time for Vacation Bible School that summer. You know, and people who helped build that gymnasium fellowship hall that we're going to be using, we needed more worship space in what was our worship center that's now the Faith Center. And so the kitchen and everything was back at the back, so we said, let's clean that out, use that for worship space, and let's build something where we can fellowship together. And it was done debt-free. And then 17 years ago, we felt like God was saying it's time to build, and really probably about 19 years ago, we were looking at building and said, we don't have enough property to build on. And we started looking into this property. This was not our property. All the way back to the four-lane, Monte Carlo, was not our property. It was just empty. Nothing was happening there. And we found out it was owned by the FDIC. They didn't even know they owned it because of bankruptcies and everything else. And so we started praying about it. They worked with us. They had to take bids, but our bid was the highest because we said, let's go with $7,000 because that seems like a good biblical number. And by the way, the high school out there on 380 had just been purchased for $6,000 an acre. On 380. Man, if I had just had about $4,000 or $5,000, $6,000 to put together and buy some of that property, you know. But anyway, we said, let's bid $7,000. And because we did, the FDIC said, your bid came out high enough. We'll do all the paperwork for you. We'll pay off a guy that has been mowing it and had a claim on it and everything. And he was fine with us getting it as well. And everybody was, and so we were able to get this property. And then when we started to build this building, we thought, where's this going to come from? And back 17 years ago, this building cost about $1 million to build. And the first Sunday we walked into it, we walked in debt free. And still don't know where that all came from, you know, but just we rejoiced and we're able to continue to put the money towards the ministry instead of the maintenance of building and paying off notes. And so we just praise the Lord for that. And so I started thinking, you know, that money that was given kind of as a legacy gift. When I get to an anniversary in my marriage, we just kind of pretend like it's another day and I don't do anything for my wife. Do you believe that? I've been married 41 years. Is that right? 41 years? Yeah, okay. And if I did nothing on my anniversary, I'd be in big trouble, you know. But okay, so I'm just going to throw it out here. And if you've been under my ministry for these last 30 years, 31 years, you know I don't talk about money a whole lot. But it is something that God laid on my heart to just share. An example of a gift at anniversary time. And so here's my challenge to you, and this is something Becky and I are going to pray about and do as well. I want to give an anniversary gift to the church as well. And just give it out there and say whatever the church deems to do it. Our stewardship team and our missions team are already meeting to talk about what they want to recommend to the church, how we deal with that legacy gift. But I just want, here's the thing. You know, we've been decorating up here partly because we like decorating, but partly because the white walls up here are hard on the people worshiping with us online. And so we've talked about possibly painting these walls and putting a screen in the center where everybody's focus will be on the same place instead of having the smaller screens on the side. That's something that we're talking about doing and possibly doing someday in the future. Charles and I both, I don't know if y'all have noticed this, we're old. I know that slipped your mind and you didn't know that, but we realize that both of us are not going to be here that much longer in life. I mean, I'm planning on being here another 30 years, 40. You know, Moses was 80 when he started his ministry and was there another 40 years. But I don't know what God will do as far as how long he'll let me stay healthy enough to do it. But we want to leave a legacy that if the Lord tarries and he could come back tomorrow, this world's a mess, and we'd be glad to go on to a new place. But if not, we want to be able to leave this place for the next ministry and for the continued ministry. You know, I'm just going to say it, if $100,000 or $200,000 comes in, our parking lot needs repair. If $1 or $2 million comes in, we'll build a new children's wing and a new place for fellowship and ministry and see how God... I don't believe this church is going to stay running 150, 200 people. I think there's too much to do in this community, and this community's growing too fast. If we stay small or get smaller, it's because there's something wrong in our hearts that we don't want to see other people reach. I don't care about growing in numbers. I do care about that there are people who are dying out there that need what we have. And so I just wanted to share that with you today, because a lot of times I'll keep those things to myself, and sometimes I've even had a dear brother say, sometimes you need to share some of those things with us. I still remember one of the first anniversaries we had when I was first pastoring here. And Gene Ray Cantrell was the church historian at the time. And I remember reading the thing about when they built that first building back in 1972 is when it opened. Church started in 71. That building was built by 72. And she said, and we just praise God for all that he had done and realized that the best was yet to come. And that's why I praise God for what God has done in my life because of you. You know, how he's helped me to grow and how he continues to help me to grow. And I hope you feel the same way about your brothers and sisters in Christ. But I still feel like the best is yet to come. Always we have to have that hope. And so may all who find us in the future, may they find that we've been faithful. Colossians chapter 1, Paul prays for the church. And let's stand together as we read verses 1 through 14 as we hear what his prayer is. And I'm going to say this is my anniversary prayer for our church, and I pray that it's your anniversary prayer. And I say anniversary just because this is our anniversary. It actually should be our daily prayer for one another. Colossians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love with which you have for all the saints. And because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it's constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of our Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just in these moments, show us how to pray for one another. But even more, Lord, help us to be obedient to receive the blessings that have been prayed for the church throughout the centuries, and that your Spirit is glad to answer. Lord, bless us to be your church, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated and keep your Bibles open there to Colossians 1, and just a few things about his prayer for the church. The first one, we need to be known for the right things. You heard that when he said in verse 4, you know, we've heard these things about you. Since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. You know, that idea of heard means they had a reputation. This was one of the, go ahead and go to that next slide. There, yeah, right there. That's one of the things that about Colossians that's kind of cool. Paul didn't found the church of Colossae. And in fact, as we read the letter, we find it looks like he'd never even visited the church of Colossae. They may have been founded by people who had spread out from his work in Ephesus and some of the other areas in that of that region, but he didn't really know them face to face, person to person. He heard about them from Epaphras, that fellow servant. But he said, you know what we've heard about you? You have a faith in Jesus Christ, and you have a love for the saints. Man, I tell you what, as a pastor, and hopefully for you also as a member of Faith Baptist Church, I hope that when you go throughout the community, you can hear people say, well, those people really believe in Jesus, and those people really know how to love. I don't believe everybody's supposed to be a member of Faith Baptist Church, by the way. I mean, we're a kingdom organization. We belong to one king, and he has churches all over this world and even in this community that are serving him. And man, if God calls you to serve in one of those churches, you go serve in one of those churches, and we'll rejoice with you, and we'll partner with you. We're not in competition with the other churches in town. It's funny, some of the pastors who have moved in said, this is a weird town, because we meet together for lunch once a month and talk about how can we minister together and how can we minister to the poor and hungry through Christ Cares for Princeton. How can we minister at the school system through chaplaincy? And we need to do a better job of it. There's so much work that could be done, and we have open doors here because God has blessed us with open doors. But we need to be known as people who have a strong faith in Christ Jesus. We got the name on the door. We got them on our t-shirts. Faith Baptist Church. Do we believe that God will do what he says he's going to do? Do we believe first and foremost that we have a faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, but also he's the Savior, Jesus, the one who saves us from our sins? Do we believe that? And if we believe that, why aren't we sharing it with everybody? Man, that's what we've got to be doing, is sharing with the people at work when they're coming to you and talking about how their marriage is falling apart, or how their kid is in the hospital and they don't know what's going to happen with this situation, or our loved one has cancer and they're broken and heartbroken. Are you pushing? That sounds terrible. Are you pushing them to Jesus? Are you nagging them to Jesus? You know, it's that idea that should be the first thing on our hearts, is because I believe Jesus has changed my life. Not just for eternity, but for every moment of every day. He has changed my life today. He's changing my life tomorrow. And he's taken me out of a domain of darkness and put me into his glorious light. Man, if that's happened to me, why don't I share that with somebody else? If I have faith that Jesus can move mountains in people's lives, that's what we ought to be sharing when they're coming to our desk. They're not coming just because they want somebody to hear them moan. Let me take that back. They probably are coming to let somebody hear them moan, but are you one that's hearing it and letting the Holy Spirit help you lead them to Jesus? Jesus is the one that can help them. Faith in Jesus and a love for all the saints. Man, I hope you love people. And especially the saints. By the way, anybody that belongs to Jesus is a saint. A saint means someone who is dedicated. And that's not the idea of the verb of I'm dedicating myself. God's already dedicated you. If you belong to Jesus, he's already consecrated you and dedicated you to his service. Now, you're either doing it well or you're doing it dirty. Okay? You're either a clean vessel for the Lord to use, or you're a dirty vessel that are filling your life with other stuff. But you are already dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a saint if you belong to Jesus. If you could take of the Lord's table, you're dedicated. And so, do we love one another? It's always been weird to me. I've grown up in churches all my life. It's always been weird to me that some of the meanest people I've ever seen are Christians who don't agree on something. I don't understand it. And in fact, there's a lot of people that you'll witness to in your life that will say, no, I don't want to come to church because they act mean to each other. They can just be rude, you know? It shouldn't be that way. What we need to be known for is we have a strong belief that Jesus can do everything and anything for people's lives. And we have a strong love for one another, where you can put up with my flaws. I can put up with your flaws, because we all love Jesus. And that's the supreme, wonderful thing that trumps every flaw. We go on to verses 5 and 6. Not only do we have faith and love, we also have hope. You remember Paul says those are the three things that last together: faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest is love. But man, we've got to keep our hope. If you're in a hard time and you come to church, we're going to preach Jesus and we're going to preach joy, because you need to have that hope in you. You need to have that hope that Jesus can take away the illness, he can heal the whatever needs surgery, he can do all of those kind of things, he can lift you up, but he also can bring you up in the midst of those things if he doesn't take it away. I say it a lot, I quote this song all the time, but you know, sometimes he calms the storm with a whisper, peace be still, he can settle any storm, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds his child and lets the winds and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm. At other times, he calms his child. That's the hope we have, that whatever God has allowed to come into our life, he's going to be with us. He's going to give us strength. He's going to give us wisdom. Or he's going to give us healing. Or maybe all three. So hope laid up for you where? Your hope is secure in heaven. If you start hoping for things in this world, name it and claim it, whatever it might be, he didn't guarantee that you should have hope for that. What he does guarantee is your hope is secure in heaven. Your treasure will never decay, will never be stolen. You're secure. Hope. And he said, these are things you previously heard in the word of truth. What I hope we're known for is a church that believes the Bible, preaches the Bible, teaches the Bible, sings from the Bible, and sings songs that talk about truths from the Bible, shares the Bible, shares the word of, what was that next? The word of what? Truth. And by the way, put a capital T on that. There's a whole lot of people saying your truth, my truth, their truth, everybody's truth. Let everybody have their own truth. There's only one truth. It's either true or it's not true. If I believe something completely different than somebody else, one thing we know for sure, they can't both be true. They can both be false, but they can't both be true. And the Bible says, you're a church that's known for clinging to the truth. And by the way, when we do that, it says it'll bear fruit. We're going to show that fruit. It says it's done that in you from the beginning. It's going to do that in others too. Don't nag your children. Okay, I'm going to come back to nag. Don't nag your children and your grandchildren about going to church and all those kind of things. But be ready always to speak a kind word of truth into their life, because it does bear fruit. Those are seeds when planted, God can bring up for them to know. Man, there's truth where mom and dad live. I'm not talking about Princeton, Texas. I'm talking about living in Christ. So that's the first thing in that prayer. We need to be known for the right things. That last part, grace. That we celebrate the grace of God. We don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his forgiveness. We don't deserve his life. But because he loves so greatly, out of his character, he has graced us. Thanksgiving's coming up. We're celebrating anniversary and thanking him for his grace today. His grace are those blessings that we didn't deserve, but they come from a Father who never changes. So, first prayer for each other. Know the right things. Be known for the right things. Second one, grow the right kind of leaders. And verse 7, he says, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. He calls him a fellow servant, a faithful servant. He said, you learned him on our behalf. He informed us of your love in Christ. And I did want to talk a little bit more about some people that we've, one of the things Joanne said when I was talking to her, you heard some, I had to cut everything down because by the time I finished talking with some people, I had 39 minutes for a video, you know, and that was going to be a long song service with 39 minutes. But anyway, I had to cut some of that. And she said, you know, one of the things that our church has always been about, because we've got people who have gone on from here to pastor other churches and serve in different ministries. That's always been something that our church from the very beginning was about, is training up leaders. And I started thinking about Sean Bailey, pastor over at First Baptist Blue Ridge, was the first youth minister that served here when I was first here. You got Stephen Richardson out at First Baptist Church, Caddo Mills, and serving faithfully out there, and he was our youth minister. Ronnie McGowan serving in Illinois. Justin Dunn in Oklahoma. Chase Ward in Colorado. Andrew Tucker is working on his PhD in Christian antiquities in St. Louis, Missouri. The other day I met Errol Bosley. Again, I'd met him. He was the interim pastor 31 years ago before I came here. And he left me a nice note about what a wonderful people this is that God has called me to serve with. And I got to meet him. He's our liaison for Operation Christmas Child. He's a retired pastor that's now helping with Samaritan's Purse and doing that. You know, there are others. Got to meet Rocky Pope several years ago, and he served for decades over in Mesquite, Pat Andrews in Alabama, others And even here at Faith, you know, it's been a joy to see people like Greg Bowers step up and sense a call to ministry in our church, getting to license him for the gospel ministry. James Smith served as a victims relief chaplain. Many of you may not even know that about James. Mark Stevenson misses church every one Sunday a month to be over sharing an evangelist message at the South Fork flea market thing, and he's constantly at anything we have here in the city, he's there sharing the gospel. So many of Don with leading an FCA group at Clark Middle School. We've got people who are ministering. Got deacons and Sunday school teachers and children's leaders and youth workers and women's ministry and so many people. And it's so important that a church grow up the right kind of leaders. And then thirdly, prayer for the church that we know the will and the ways of the Lord. Because he goes on to say, know God's will, spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm praying that you will know God's will for your life, and that you'll have an understanding of his word. And that second word means being able to apply it to everyday life. You know, I pray that we won't just study the Bible as a historical book, but that we'll let the Bible study us. And we'll let the Bible speak into our lives a living word every day. That we will have that kind of understanding and insight so that we will walk in a manner worthy of him. Worthy of the Lord. Every time I take the Lord's Supper, I think how unworthy I am. But yet God's word says because he's empowered us and filled us with his Holy Spirit, we can walk in a manner that is so worthy of the Lord that he says, look, my little one's acting just like me. My son, my daughter, he's acting just like Jesus. And so every good work bearing fruit, strengthened with power, that word in the Greek is the word we get our word dynamite. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let's do that again. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've got glorious might. And the fourth one, give thanks for your share in his light. And we talked about that before the Lord's Supper, verses 12 and 13, 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in his inheritance of the saints in light. You've got to share in God's inheritance. And he rescued us. He redeemed us and renewed us, transferred us to a different kingdom. He redeemed us by forgiving our sins. Is that who you are? Do you walk in that every day? I've got a story to tell you about. I'm still chewing on it. Just happened this morning. I was looking at the kitty litter in our bathroom. So we have a cat. I started thinking about kitty litter. I don't like it. It's a necessary evil. But the cat spreads it all over our bathroom floor and everything else. And there's times where I'll live my life like I'm in the litter box. Just trying to avoid what's in the litter box. When God said, listen, you can do a great job of avoiding what's in the litter box, or you can just get out of the litter box. I think a lot of times we live our lives as though, yeah, Jesus saved me and someday I'm going to heaven, but I still got a whole lot of nasty about me. When his word says, and we believe his word, aren't we people who should be known as people who believe the word is truth and is the word of truth? And he says, listen, I've rescued you out of all of this and transferred you into my kingdom, the kingdom of my beloved son, you're free. So instead of living your life like you're avoiding landmines, realize you don't have any landmines to fear anymore. Forgiven, redeemed. So here's our prayer for our church. Be known for the right things. Grow up the right kind of leaders. By the way, if you don't feel like you could ever be a leader, then you're doubting what God could do. Grow up to be a leader. Don't be settled for being a follower always in Christ Jesus. Grow up to be able to lead children, to lead youth, to lead adults, to lead people in Costa Rica to the Lord, whatever it might be. Know the will and the ways of the Lord, and then give thanks for your share in life. Today, we want to celebrate. Because we serve one who makes a way where there is no way. Rises up, I've got to get the words because I'm always playing my guitar and don't get to sing the words. And of course, it's not going to show up. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there is no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. We're going to end today with that song. Again, a time of worship. And if you come to a place right now that you say, I don't know if I know Jesus. Man, there's Jim, you're glad to share, right? Don, you're down here, you're glad to share. Noah, you're glad to share Jesus with people. Grab anybody. And they'll say, well, I either share how to receive Jesus or I can take you to somebody that will. We're going to end with the celebration. And we didn't purposely plan for this service to go extra long. But since it has, we're going to invite you to stay and eat with us and celebrate with us and spend the day this morning with us praising God. That he has qualified us to share in his kingdom of light. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your grace, the faith we have in Christ Jesus. All the things we get to share because you've taken us out of darkness and put us into light. Lord, may you be honored in our lives as we walk in a manner worthy of our Lord Christ Jesus. And may you do amazing things here for your sake, for your glory, and for our good. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with us and sing.
Are you past the point of weary? Are your burdens weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing. Are you desperate for some healing? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Broken dreams. About me, let me tell you about my Jesus.
Been sharing with you and you with us, members, guests alike, all go over next door. We're going to pray right now and ask a blessing. Heavenly Father, would you just bless this food to our bodies and bless the fellowship as the body of Christ spends time together. In your name, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next door.
He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave, ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus, his love is strong and his grace is free, and the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Great job.